Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe in myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Episode 16. Are we on 16 today, Mike?
16.
Episode 16 of the Last Round Podcast. I'm Danny Z, along with my co-host, Michael Shepherd. And we do have a special guest on the line there. We're going to get right to it. Just because he does have limited time tonight, but we appreciate him calling in. The trainer of Jose Uzcategui, super middleweight title holder, world title holder, Jose Uzcategui. Jose, thanks for coming on. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
All right, so I can imagine it's been a busy week for you. So how's training camp been going for this big fight?
Good, man. We're ready, man. It's fight week. We're ready. We're just doing little things here and there, but we're ready to go up to LA.
It's kind of been Jose's been a voided fighter. Obviously, James DeGale dropped the IBF super middleweight title because he didn't want to fight Jose.
Yeah.
What do you think about that when that happened?
Well, nothing. I mean, that's, you know, his choice. If he felt there was easier opposition with bigger names, and you know, everyone has a choice in their career, and that's the choice he had to make, and we're good. I mean, this is our journey, and we're ready to go.
Obviously, there seems to have been a bit of needle between obviously Jose's camp, obviously, and Caleb's camp.
It's mainly me and Caleb. Like, Jose hasn't said much. I mean, if you look on YouTube or anything, he has like 500 interviews. We've done one, maybe. He keeps saying we're talking. I don't know where we've been talking, but he keeps talking and talking. So
it's good for the fans, though, isn't it? Just to see, you know, it draws more people in, more viewers, when you can see there's actually kind of like a bit of hate between the camps.
Like the drama factor.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so. I don't know, man. I really don't like him. I don't like him. Like, me and him have talked. We've personally talked. We talked on video chat. We've talked. Me and him have talked. I just think he's a shady person from what me and him have talked. We've talked. We've had multiple conversations before the fight, you know, so I'm sure
the press conferences and the weigh-ins are going to be
a shady person.
The press conferences and the weigh-ins are going to be eventful then?
Yeah, I mean, we got nothing to say. Jose's just like, Jose fight. That's what I keep telling him. Like, keep talking, like, all your philosophy and shit he's trying to say don't mean nothing when he gets in there. He has to punch somebody.
Right.
Words ain't going to solve it in there. So you could try to talk as slick as you want and, you know, pre-write all your stuff, like, on the face-to-face. Like, it's pre-written. Like, doesn't matter. You got to fight at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you've done differently for this fight this time around with Jose Uzcategui?
No, not too many things, you know, tactical things. We know, we respect him as a fighter. I mean, he's good. No, we've never said that he's not good. We just said that he's another fighter. Unless he sprouts a third hand, he's not different than any other fighter. Like, you're a fighter. You got two hands, a head, you breathe and bleed like we do. So why should we treat you like you're something special? You're another fighter.
Are you going to focus on obviously trying to cut the ring off? Because, you know, Caleb's kind of he's a real fast hand, fast feet type of fighter. So is that kind of the game plan I can imagine you're going to have for this fight?
No, we're ready for whatever. If he wants to come forward, if he wants to go backwards, if he wants to hug, whatever he wants to do. I mean, we're ready for all of it. You can't assume that he's going to do what he did to other fighters to us. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. So we train for everything. We brought sparring partners that come forward. We got sparring partners that move. We got sparring partners that are fast, slow, strong. You can't just assume that that's what he's going to do, you know? So you got to be prepped for everything.
How many sparring partners have you had for this camp?
Like maybe five or six different ones that have specific things I wanted, you know, from the sparring partner. Just specific things, you know, different guys, you know.
And in terms of the sparring, is it like, you know, it's like some other fighters, do you have the sparring partners kind of interchange like every two, three rounds? So it can kind of keep him fresh. So like a brand new guy comes in every 2-3 rounds, but he just keeps going.
No, not necessarily. We sometimes just work on a specific thing, you know. Like, you can't work on everything in one sparring session. So, you know, different days require different sparring partners. What we feel we need to work on that day, we work on that day. If I feel that he needs to do this, we'll call that sparring partner. You know, we just have them all ready to go. So whatever I feel we need to work on that day, if it's speed, if it's power, if it's this, we just have them, you know, on the line to come train, you know.
Not trying to look too far ahead, but, you know, I've heard that people are already saying that Us category is, you know, going to win, and then you're looking forward to like a big showdown with someone like Benavidez?
Obviously, but we prefer Canelo. Benavidez doesn't have a belt, so there's no reason. Want belts. You know, we want the people with belts. Surdo, Colin Smith, Canelo.
Do you think Canelo would take that fight? I mean, you know, just based on looking at the landscape, Canelo doesn't seem like he wants to stay at 168, but you think you guys can entice him to step into the ring with you guys?
I mean, I mean, Canelo's a fighter. I mean, if he thinks it's a good fight, I mean, depends. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he thinks, but we're definitely going to call him out, you know? You got to call the biggest names out. You're not just going to call someone that's irrelevant, you know, just because they're in the weight class.
Is that going to be a battle for San Diego?
The goal is to move forward, you know?
Is that going to be
that's a when people say that they don't look forward or past, I mean, you kind of have to if you want to move forward in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is that like Mike just said, is that going to be the battle of San Diego if you guys get the Canelo fight?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, he trains here. We train here. It'd be good. Like it'd be a nice fight. We get to do camp here, do all our stuff here. So it'd be cool for both of us to be here, you know? It's a big fight, I mean. Canelo's a great fighter, obviously. I think Jose is one of the best, if not the best, super middleweight. You know, I think with getting Glenn out of the way, you know, we'll just keep proving that he's the best. I mean, everyone says the same thing. Caleb says the same thing. Darrell said the same thing, that we're slow, that we're this. But once they're in there, it's a different story.
Be like a WWE match, Jose, where the winner leaves town.
The winner leaves town.
That'd be dope. That shit. I'm born and raised here, so I ain't leaving.
You know? Shit. What did you and Jose and the whole team think when it was reported that Canelo was gonna move up to 168? What was it kind of like? At least for you guys, was it like, oh wow, like that means that, you know, a possibility for a fight with Canelo just opened up even more for us,
that
right? Yeah,
like, I mean, we don't do this for free, so yeah, we live off of this, so yeah, like this is the biggest payday. So, you know, he's the cash cow now, so of course, you know, every super middleweight got excited.
Oh yeah, I could imagine that. I could imagine that. And speaking of super middleweight, I know we talked about James DeGale and stuff. He's fighting Chris Eubank Jr. In the coming months. What do you think about that fight? And you know, possibly Jose fighting maybe the winner of that at some point later this year.
No, I mean, I don't care who wins from that. It's not interesting to me. He had his opportunity. They both did.
Right.
They both had an opportunity to fight us, and they both turned it down. So we're not just going to give you an opportunity now. Now that we have the belt and we're doing that. Nah, we're doing the same thing to them. They ain't earned it. The girl was scared. Why would you give someone an opportunity? Like, nah, you don't get it. Eubank's the same stuff. We were negotiating a fight and he turned it down. So
sounds like they're looking for an opponent for Callum Smith for April at Wembley, because the rumors are that Eddie Hearn's going to have Anthony Joshua fight Jarrell Miller over in New York now. So looks like Callum Smith might be headlining that April the 13th date. So that would be a good one to try and clear up the division. Callum Smith's got a lot of the belts. Obviously, you have the other one. So
yeah, absolutely. I think that would be a great fight. I mean, we would love that. I mean, if we got through to Caleb Plant with no injuries or nothing, yeah, that was something we automatically would go for.
That's it.
Definitely. I mean, that's what we're here for, is to fight. We want to fight the best people. Like, we're not trying to dodge or do nothing else. We want to fight the best. If they say he's one of the best, then that's what we're going for.
That's
the goal.
He's definitely been an avoided fighter in that weight category.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fights there. That's what, you know.
Would you fight? I know this is probably an obvious answer, but just judging by the Canelo interest, but you know, obviously Triple G still hasn't announced any television network or any partnership and all that kind of detail. And you know, and he's even said, and his team have even said that he's open to 168 if you know it's a good matchup and it works out. I'm assuming you guys would be open to somebody like Triple G at 168 too, right?
Absolutely.
Man, your guys' options just opened up.
I said no to DeGale and Eubank is because they had their chance. They turned the fights down, so why would we give them a chance now? You know, they had opportunities, both of them did, and they turned it down. They said we weren't a big enough name. Okay, then now we're not going to give you a chance because you're irrelevant. You know, so why would we go that route? But yeah, Triple G, of course. Triple G is always going to be a name.
Was that the reasoning that they gave you guys, that you guys didn't bring enough like name recognition, even though you guys have a world title?
Yeah, I mean, when we were gonna get DeGale, so before DeGale, we were talking to the European guys because you know how that Super Six thing got all messed up,
right?
You know, they called us and we were negotiating and they said no. Well, Chris Eubank said no, and so that didn't happen. DeGale, everyone knows what he did. He vacated because he was scared. I mean, we ain't Caleb Truex. Jose ain't Caleb Truex. Jose was going to retire him. Jose retires James DeGale. If they would have fought that wasn't, come on now. Caleb Truex ain't Jose. Jose's another monster.
He's been saying that Al Heyman's promised him another world title fight before he retires, James DeGale.
Yeah, well, he could keep promising him all he wants. We don't care. I don't care what. I mean, for what? Like, really? Like, that's if he beats Chris Eubank. He's already talking about world title. He ain't even got past this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Has anyone reached out to you from any of the big broadcasting companies, like DAZN or anyone like that? Because, you know, obviously they've got a lot of weekends to fill. So you can imagine Eddie Hearn's looking to add to his, you know, create a huge stable of fighters, because I think they've literally got a date for every weekend.
Yeah.
Has anyone reached out to you from them?
Well, the thing is, we're signed to Sanford, so we could fight in anybody's thing. You know, we have the most freedom of any super middleweight.
Right.
We're signed to the Mexican company, so we could fight in Top Rank, DAZN, PBC. We get to move around, so fights with us should be easy, but obviously people don't want to make them because we're able to go to any network. No one could pull that network shit with us because we're not signed to nobody. We're signed to Sanford in Mexico, so we could fight anywhere. We could go with any TV, anything. We're not signed to no TV, so
if they want
to fight, we can fight. We can make any fight happen because we're not in anybody's network.
Has any television network approached you guys to be exclusive with them, whether it's ESPN, Showtime?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that because I don't handle that part.
Okay.
But from my knowledge, no. And from what me and the promoters have talked, we like what we have now.
Right.
I mean, we fought in Top Rank in October. Now we're fighting in PBC. We get to fight wherever we want. So I think this is a better way because we'll be able to make any fight.
As anyone from Top Rank, how about Jose Ramirez or something like that? Are you looking to?
Yeah, Zurdo. Yeah, that'd be a good fight. We've been calling him out for years.
And why do you think he doesn't want to fight you? He's scared too?
I don't know. I don't think no fighter's scared except DeGale. Because DeGale has to go. I think every fighter has the reasoning, you know. I mean, if you're a fighter, you can't be scared,
right?
I mean, you fight for a living, like that doesn't make sense. I just think they don't want to take risks because there's a risk,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Obviously, he's not the most popular fighter at 68, but he will be once he gets through Caleb Plant, you know.
And he's got a world title. I mean, you know, like at the end of the day, the fight game is about chasing and winning those world titles, and he's got it, you know.
Supposed to be.
Well, supposed to be.
Yeah. But they don't market us, you know. We're from Latin America, you know. He don't speak English, you know. So he'll be marketable in time, you know. Everybody has their time. I think Jose's just going to earn it the old-fashioned way, you know.
But you don't think it in that regard? I like that you said that, you know, you guys are with Zanfer and you guys aren't tied to any specific television broadcast partner, which is good because it opens you up to negotiate with other promoters. But you don't think if you know, you guys were signed exclusively to one television platform, that maybe he get more airtime, you know, because, you know, they it's all about like investment. You don't think that hurts the team?
Yeah, in a way. But I mean, like I said, if we sign to that, then we have those stupid debates that. I'm on a podcast. Can you get him to jump rope real quick?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Live call.
No, but what I'm saying is, it is and it's not, because like the whole top rank in PBC, right? So now nobody fights each other, and then that's an excuse. I feel this way. No one can make an excuse with us. No one can say that it's networks. No one can say that it's promoters. So there's no dodging at this point. If you dodge, it's because you want to dodge. It's not because networks. You don't have that excuse. And a lot of fighters use that excuse. You know, they use that excuse about, you know, oh, well, I'm in top rank and he's in this, and they make excuses. This way, when we want to fight them, they can't say the network did it.
Right.
They have to actually come up with a real excuse, because you can't make that excuse no more with us.
True.
And like I said, we're not underestimating Caleb Plant at all. You know, we're ready. You know, we're believing this is a fight that we could win. I mean, what fighter have you ever heard say, oh, we're not going to win? That's kind of dumb.
Right.
That's his whole anger, that we said we were going to win. What, are we supposed to tell you we're going to lose, or?
Right, I mean, yeah. As a fighter, you don't want to have that mentality.
Like, right. What are you talking about?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, going on a lighter side, Jose just celebrated a birthday, right, on the 24th of December?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm assuming you guys were training, or did you guys celebrate anything, at least for a little bit?
No, I mean, to him, it's just another day. I mean, his mind is focused on Plant.
Right.
Plant ran his mouth, and now, you know, Jose has to, like Jose told him in all the shows we've done, on the Fox shows and all that, like, at the end of the day, we got to fight in the ring, so it don't matter. You know, it don't matter. You live hard, we live hard, everybody grew up hard. I mean, that's not new. Like, we're from different countries, you know what I'm saying? He's from Venezuela, I grew up in Mexico, like, he acting like we grew up in fucking Bel Air or something.
Right.
Like, he sits here talking about how his life was harder than us. You don't know us. How the fuck is that a fact? Like, he's all facts, right? It's not a fact. Like, he says he's faster, he's this. And how is that a fact? You never fought Jose, so it's not a fact. You've never fought him. So how can you say you're faster, you have a higher IQ? Like, motherfucker, you were a kickboxer. Jose's been a boxer. Like,
right.
Just because you mimic Floyd doesn't mean that you have a higher IQ. But you could box going forward. Boxing isn't just going backward. You're a defensive fighter. He says that Jose gets it. You guys seen Jose fight?
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so what fight you seen Jose all beat up, like other brawlers? That his face is all swollen, or he's just taking punishment just to he gets hit to get hit. Jose don't fight like that.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, you're right.
The only punishment I've ever seen.
That's what I tell everybody. How Durrell. You know you got better defense? Durrell couldn't hit him.
The only punishment I've seen him take was from Durrell's uncle.
I know, that was dirty.
Yeah. And then he still didn't do nothing. So there you go. Like, you hit like bitches outside the ring and inside the ring. So it didn't make a difference. You came up and started talking all sweet, like it was all good, and then sucker punch, and it did nothing. Then did nothing. Then you got your ass whooped in the rematch.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. All the talk and all the shit ain't gonna matter. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he keeps saying this and that. Okay, we'll see. If he beats us, he beats us. We can't do nothing about it. That's the difference between us and them. We understand that there's three outcomes in boxing: win, lose, or draw. That's it.
I'm gonna.
So you prep for all three. Just because you're envisioning in your head and you did a vision board, I don't care about all that shit. You still gotta play somebody. Fuck your vision board. I don't give a fuck about that. You know, like, I don't care. That ain't got nothing to do with boxing.
I'm looking
here like, oh, I've envisioned it my whole life. Every boxer did, dumbass. Like, what are you talking about?
I'm looking forward to the weigh-ins till you and Caleb see each other.
Yeah, I saw him in the hotel. He wasn't that brolic when we saw each other. I'm 6'1", 300 pounds. I ain't no fucking little bitch. I fought too. Like, he ain't scaring me. Like, I don't know what he thinks. He knows that. He ain't scaring nobody over here. He ain't scaring nobody on this side, and he knows that.
I know
that's
you're...
why. That's why he was all teary-eyed in the damn face-to-face. He's scaring nobody. He does that thinking because he beat up Porky. Okay, he says that we were given the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
You heard that?
Yeah.
So you tell me, which fighter has ever got a title eliminator after being knocked out? Didn't Porky get knocked out by Benavidez?
Yeah,
he did. That's right. That's yeah. True.
Then how did he get a title eliminator shot after being knocked out? You tell me when that's ever happened. That a dude gets knocked out and then gets a title shot or a title eliminator. You got handed that. They put a punching bag with hands for you. Right? Nobody said that before. How is Porky ranked if he just got knocked out by Benavidez? How is Porky ranked?
That's true.
How is he? Yeah, see, nobody's checking him on that. And that's why I get mad. Like, who's checked him on that?
No, you're right.
Nobody. Yeah, see, no one does that. Like, all these guys from the Mayweather gym talking about, there's one idiot on there talking about he sparred Jose last year when he was 8-0. Jose got 30 fights. What'd he fight, 22 fights in a year? Like, they're just morons. They don't even know what they're talking about. Like, at the end of the day, final thing is Jose's going to go in there and put in work. You got to deal with him in the ring. All the shit outside, all the stuff we all said, it's not going to matter on the 13th. You two are going to be in there. And now you got to deal with Jose. Exactly. I don't got to deal with Caleb Plant. He got to deal with Jose. You know, I'm not fighting. He spent the whole camp arguing with me. He over there stalking everybody's Instagrams and shit. Like, he's stalking my girl's Instagram and shit to see what she puts up. Like, man, you're like a old, like, you know when you have an ex-girlfriend that finds out you have a new girlfriend and she's checking out everybody's shit? Like, that's what he's doing. He's a weirdo.
Oh, man. This is great.
This is going to be a good fight week. I'm
ready. I am ready, man. I think you've been my favorite guest so far that we've had on this show, man. You got to come back. You got to come.
We speak the truth. My shit isn't pre-written. I'm not trying to find arguments for everything. He's looking to see who said what and when he said it. Okay, you say what you know, he said, I mean what I say and I say what I mean.
Right.
You contradict yourself all the time. You said Jose was a bum in another interview. You said Jose has dimensions. So stop contradicting yourself then. Since you mean what you say, and get the fuck out of here, man. You're a fucking hillbilly. Because you wear those Latin tablecloth shirts. You think you got some money now? Get the fuck out of here, man. You're still a hillbilly. Like, don't come with that shit because you got some money. You dress like El Chapo from the 80s. Like, that don't mean shit. Got nothing to do with boxing. Like, you bought an expensive shirt. Okay. And?
Oh, like, man.
Get the fuck out of here. I don't care. He went to the damn face-to-face dressed like Ron Burgundy and shit.
Just like Ron. What a reference. What a reference.
Like, man, come on. But I got to go to class, guys.
No, yeah, no problem.
Absolutely go up there as soon as I have time, and we'll do a full show, man.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. Jose, can you help me pronounce your last name? Is it Cito?
Cital.
Okay, that's why I wanted to ask, because I was like, okay, he's got the Mexican accent right there. Jose Cital, trainer of AHUP, IBF super middleweight champion, world champion, Jose Uzcategui, who fights this Sunday, the 13th, at the Microsoft Theater on Los Angeles on Fox Sports 1 against Caleb Plant. Good luck to you guys, Jose, and hopefully we can have you guys on the show in the near future. And like I said, good luck to you guys, and hopefully you guys pull out the W.
Thank you, man. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Man, what? He let it. He didn't hold back.
No, that was one of the reasons. I mean, I could see on social media that obviously himself and Caleb Plant were going back and forth. So I was like, hey, you know, try and get him on. I knew he'd be a good guest. Obviously, he speaks his mind. He doesn't hold back, like you say. So it's going to be a good fight week.
I'm ready. I am ready. Hey, you could tell, you just tell in his voice that there is legitimate bad blood. I know, you know, it being in the fight game, especially, sometimes you have to sell it, the drama factor to get people to, you know, I get it. At the end of the day, it is a form of entertainment, even though it is a fight game, and you play your part. But this one doesn't seem like it's on purpose.
No.
They don't like each other.
No, they don't like each other. You can tell. They go back and forth, and, you know, even on Instagram, sometimes it gets a little personal. So you can tell, obviously, it's not set up like it is sometimes. Like, I don't see that fight going where, you know, they win and then they go and hug each other. I think it's going to be still going to be the same. It's still going to be
I don't even think it goes six rounds.
So who are you going for?
I'm going draw.
You're going for a draw?
No, I'm just kidding. you know what? I like the matchup, and I like that there's like bad blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to make it, you know, a lot more dramatic. But I am going for Uscategui. I think he's going to, you know, yeah, I don't know. I like Caleb Plant, but I think, like I said, just based on this interview, like, I don't think it's going to go more than six, seven rounds.
No, I agree. It's definitely more of a boxer, puncher in Uscategui against a fast feet, fast hands Caleb Plant. The problem about Caleb Plant is that he doesn't really put many people away. He's, you know, 17-0 with only 10 KOs. And actually, you know, even on the last few of his fights, I think it was against Paki Medina, where he just kind of like outskilled him and then just went for the unanimous decision.
Right.
He was actually booed.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, was booed quite badly.
That was in the Don Haskins Center in El Paso, Texas.
But I'm the same as you. I think it was Category. I think he'll eventually, you know, he'll eventually catch him. He'll try and corner him. It's kind of like he did against Durrell, have him up against the ropes or in the corner. And then I think he'll just unload. And I think at that point, that'll be when he finishes him off. For our English fans who may not know who Jose Uscategui is, if they can remember back to an event that happened.
Andre Durrell.
Against Andre Durrell.
Fought him twice, too.
He fought him twice. In the first meeting, Uscategui was disqualified, kind of controversially, for hitting him after the bell. Mm-hmm. Durrell kind of went down, got back up, and then it looked like the referee had kind of said, hey, are you okay to carry on? Durrell had said, yeah, I'm fine. And then it looked like his corner kind of told him to take a dive.
Yeah,
so Durrell kind
to
of
get
went,
the W.
Yeah, he kind of went back down to the floor and then ended up, he won. But then Durrell's uncle, was it his uncle or
yeah,
his trainer?
Yeah, I think it was his uncle.
His uncle went over and then started talking to Jose Uscategui. And
he
then
punched him with the right hook.
Boom.
And and everybody has to remember this because this was extremely memorable. Because there's a bunch of camera angles that were right on that shot. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was some cell phone from the corner or something. Like, it's right in the shot. And like, it got so crazy that like there was like a police report filed and everything. And I think they put on a bench warrant or a warrant for his arrest. And
it was actually Uscategui's team. It was Jose Cital and Jose Uscategui. They actually dropped the charges.
No, right. Yeah. But it got to that point.
It got to that point.
And it was just so crazy. It's just like, what the hell? Because like, literally, it was like a legit punch, like, you know, with this fist. It wasn't a glove. This wasn't a part of the show, in a sense, or part of the fight. Like, it was a legit brawl.
Because I remember that was the first time that Jose Uscategui, to me, came to mind, because I was kind of like, oh my God, like, what the hell just happened? So I imagine quite a few of the fans back home in England, they probably won't remember him, but I imagine now they'll remember that event.
Yeah.
Because that was all over. That was a normal.
Oh, yeah. That got picked up by multiple media outlets, not just boxing. It was like sports, and, you know, it was just one of those things. Like, it's insane. But, you know, thanks to Jose Cital for coming on, the trainer of Jose Uscategui. Like we said earlier, this Sunday the 13th at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles on Fox Sports 1, Uscategui versus Caleb Plant for the IBF Super Middleweight title. And also on that card, 17-0 Brandon Figueroa goes up against 25-1 Moises Flores. What do you think?
Good fight. Brandon Figueroa fought recently, quite near to us actually, at the Citizens Bank Arena.
Yeah, Ontario, California.
He headlined the event where John Molina was supposed to fight
Victor Ortiz,
because obviously that event got pulled. He beat Oscar Escandon by a 10-round KO. He's the younger brother of Omar Figueroa.
Who's fighting John Molina Jr.?
Who's fighting John Molina this time, in February. So I think it's one of those where they picked it for actually Brandon Figueroa to like come of age. A decent fight against Moises Flores. I think Brandon Figueroa should win. I think it would be a similar late stoppage, round 9, round 10. You know, Brandon Figueroa's got a good engine on him. He's young, throws lots of combinations, you know, like punches in bunches, as they say. Moises Flores is actually coming off a recent defeat to Danny Roman in the summer of 2018. He lost in a WBA World Super Bantamweight title, 12-round unanimous decision. And if people can remember, he actually fought Guillermo Rigondeaux back in the June 2017, where it ended up being a no contest.
Right, I remember that.
That was the one where Rigondeaux hit him, was it after the bell or?
It was like a right hook. I think it was after the bell.
I think it was after the bell where he hit him, and then
yeah. Because I remember that. Because I remember watching that, and I do remember that it was visibly after the bell. I don't like it wasn't like one of those split second, if I remember correctly. Am I wrong? Am I thinking of something else?
That's what springs to mind for me. I'm pretty sure that was what happened. It was a knockout. Yeah, he hit him after the bell, knocked him out, and it ended up being like a no decision.
I think they thought he was going to get DQ'd, and they ended up doing it like a no contest or no decision or something. So it didn't really affect his record. And then people were like, "Oh, what the hell?" Like, you know, he should take the L for that, at least as a DQ or something. But whatever, it is what it is. But you know, going to that transitioning from that. Flores did fight Guillermo Rigondeaux, who's actually returning on this card, right?
Yeah, he's back on this card.
Since his loss against pound for pound, arguable number one, Vasily Lomachenko, which was what? Dang, it felt like, how long ago was that? I mean, I don't know, he's been out of the ring for a minute.
Probably 18 months or so, I would say.
He's been out for a while.
He seemed like he disappeared off the face of the earth, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. And all that tweeting he did, all that social media he did leading up to the Lomachenko fight and trying to get the Lomachenko fight, and then it just goes pitch black. You know, it's kind of ironic. But he returns on that card as well against Mexico's Giovanni Delgado in an 8-round match. So obviously this just seems like it's, you know, a comeback fight to kind of get back in the rhythm and, mm-hmm. you know, get back in the groove of things. And then... you know, do you think following this fight, they try to put him in there with maybe a contender?
Yeah, I think obviously Rigondeaux, you know, he's still got something left.
I mean, because you got to remember, he went up to 130 from 122 to fight Lomachenko. And yeah, they had the similar Olympic backgrounds, and that was a big sell. But at the end at the end of the day, Adrian Broner reference, you know, he did go up in weight against Lomachenko, and, you know, I mean, and it wasn't the fight that people expected. So.
No, I mean, you've got to remember back to just before the actual fight is that they were saying that Rigondeaux and Lomachenko were the pound-for-pound best fighters on the planet.
Right.
You know, and then people seem to forget, you know, he lost that fight. You know, he was outskilled and, you know, he just decided to, you know, retire on his stool. But before that fight, people were saying he was one of the best fighters in the world.
Right.
That one loss doesn't make him, you know.
The Nonito Donaire win put him on the map.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that was a big fight.
You know, he. I'm sure he has something left in him. You know, we'll have to see how much after this week and see who he's going to come back out against in a bigger fight later down the line. But he's in an interesting division. Obviously, you've got like Leo Santa Cruz, Josh Warrington, Gary Russell Jr., Oscar Valdez, you know, Cal Frampton, Abner Meres. So there's plenty of names that he could go up against, you know, later down the line. Doesn't, you know, obviously, I imagine people like Vasyl Lomachenko is going to be too big for him now. Maybe even
you never know. I mean, nah, they won't fight again. But you know, there's crazier things that have happened.
Yeah, that's true. But there's plenty of people in and around that division, depending on whether he wants to move up in weight, go back down in weight, to you know, earn a good payday later down the line.
Earn with Hearn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then going backwards here, this Friday the 11th, in Shreveport, Louisiana, on Showtime. Is it Showtime, the new generation? I think that's it.
Yes, sir. Showtime, new generation.
20-0, Devin Haney. I think he's only like 20-21. Going up against, okay, I don't know how to pronounce this. And I don't even want to take a stab at it because I don't want to disrespect the fighter.
Undongeni.
Okay, so we're going to spell it and then you guys can say it in your mind or say it out loud, whether you're listening in your car, at work, or anywhere, wherever you're at, your kitchen, the toilet. Help us out. Okay, first name is spelled X-O-L-I-S-A-N-I. Last name is N-D-O-N-G-G-E-N-I. And this guy is 25-0. I don't even want to take a stab at it.
I would guess Undongeni.
I guess. Undongeni. That sounds correct to me, but maybe we're probably wrong.
We'll see.
We're probably wrong, and somebody's going to be mad at us. But... you know, Devin Haney, a lot of people don't know about him is that he promotes himself. He's actually licensed as a promoter, Devin Haney Promotions.
He promoted the one recently at Pechanga.
Yeah, over here in Temecula, California, mm-hmm. over here in Southern California, which was his last fight. you know, he's promoting himself. Devin Haney Promotions, he's doing his thing. So I think they said that he's the youngest ever to be licensed as a promoter.
Yeah, that's true. No, Devin was a decorated amateur with a final record. He's 130 wins and 8 losses. Made his debut in 2015, so he's been a pro for coming on 4 years now. This is probably another fight for him. I imagine that it's going to be another little showcase. Obviously gets to fight an unbeaten fighter in Undongeni.
Undongeni.
So should really be 21-0, and then hopefully I'm looking in 2019, he should be looking at trying to get himself a strap.
You never know. I think he's going for that. I mean, 20-0, he's, you know, his wins are getting up there, so.
He finished 2018 actually ranked as the number eight in the by the Ring magazine in the lightweight division.
Which is a stacked division.
That's his only problem. So, in that division, you've got obviously people like Lomachenko, Mikey Garcia, obviously when he
Linares, Robert Easter.
So,
You know, it's a pretty competitive division. But hey, you know, he's doing his thing. And you know, if he gets to land a fight with these guys, like, yeah, I mean, he might be the underdog, but you never know. You know, he seems to be working hard and doing, and you know, Showtime put out like a little documentary style video on him. It's on Showtime Boxing's YouTube. And I know they probably showed it on the Showtime channel for a little bit. So hey, you know, they're investing in their fighter here. So it's interesting. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm going with Devin Haney as well. But hey, we've seen upsets before.
Look, I'm to Dogbe.
Yeah, look at the Dogbe, Charlo, Harrison Charlo. You know, but you know, just based on resume and all that stuff, you know, Devin Haney should take it. And then going on to the news and notes of the show, something we mentioned earlier, James DeGale versus Chris Eubank Jr. is confirmed for the 23rd of February, Saturday the 23rd of February at the O2 Arena in London for the vacant IBO super middleweight title. Before we continue, is the IBO middleweight super middleweight title, do you recognize it as a real world title?
No.
Dang, you didn't even hesitate. That sucks.
No.
Somebody's going to be mad at you.
WBC, WBA, WBO, IBF are the major four that you would normally say. Then if I had to pick a fifth, I would go with the IBO.
Well, yeah. I mean, who else are you going to pick?
WBF.
There is a WBF. I think there's a WBU too.
There is a WBU.
There's the, yeah.
If I was a boxer myself and I picked up the IBO, then I would class it as a ranked world title.
You know what, you know, like these big fighters, like, you know, Canelo and all these guys, like, just to stir up some controversy or just to kind of, you know, throw some monkey wrench in the whole game. Like, after a fight, they should say, oh, I, you know, like, oh, who do you want to fight next? Oh, I don't want to fight anybody specific. I want that WBU world title. Like, what? And then the president or whoever owns the WBU, like, oh, damn it. Like,
cha-ching.
Yeah, there it is. Hey, you never know, man. I would do it just to kind of stir the pot a little bit. But yeah, DeGale Eubank Jr., we'll dive into that. You know, we're still a month and a half out, essentially. I like that fight. It's intriguing.
It's kind of a last chance saloon, I would say, for James DeGale, as Jose Sitar kind of touched on before. He was the original IBF super middleweight title. He regained it from Caleb Truex on the undercard of Heard and Lara in Las Vegas. He then was supposed to fight. It looked like I was actually in attendance that night, and the Caleb Plant was there trying to call him out. So was Category. He was there, and also Benavidez were all there at the side trying to get a glimpse of, you know, obviously whoever was going to win that, trying to call them out. Obviously James DeGale dropped the title because obviously it was Category's a dangerous fighter, and he obviously chased a bigger payday because he's near retirement. With somebody like big British fight against Chris Eubank Jr.
You're not only fighting Chris Eubank Jr., you're fighting his dad too.
That's true. Yeah, so, crazy old Chris.
I mean, you know, you might not be physically fighting him in the ring, but in a sense, that's a pairing right there.
Sheriff Chris Eubank
Sr. Sheriff Chris Eubank Sr.
With his badge, walking around with a sheriff's badge on.
Respect.
He's a crazy guy.
Respect, man. Crazy guy. You know, I. I think sometimes he thinks like, oh, you know, I'm better than my son even now.
did you see the pictures of Chris Eubank Jr. When they announced the fight and him and James DeGale went face to face? It looked like Chris Eubank Jr. had come dressed as Bane.
Oh, with the boots?
With the boots and the big jacket on. It looks like...
Hey, man, but that's his thing, though. I think people should come to expect that from the Eubanks, that they're all about style. Whether you appreciate the style or not, it doesn't matter to them.
I was created in the dark.
He was created in the dark.
Is that the line from Bane?
Is that the Dark Knight Rises?
That's the one.
The Dark Knight, the Bane. And nobody cared. Nobody cared who he was until he put on the mask.
That's true.
The Eubank Jr. should come out with a mask now.
I would like him more.
If he comes out with a mask, we called it here first.
Mm-hmm.
So we should get some cut of that purse. We probably won't, but at least we said it first. At least we said it. And then going on to the final news and notes, he did it again. Mm-hmm. Amir King Khan, he gets a big fight again. Like, you know, you got to respect him for that. So, and this is confirmed, right? Like, or at least generally?
Yeah, it's been pretty much been confirmed. I think Eddie Hearn did a recent interview with IFL TV and he kind of said like, yeah, Khan's picked Crawford. Apart from actually a fight poster coming out, I think most news outlets have admitted that this seems to be the fight.
It's been, you know, essentially reported. I don't think there's been an actual, like you said, fight poster or official press release or something. But Amir Khan is going up against, to some people, arguably top pound-for-pound fighter in the world, Terrence Crawford, who holds the WBO welterweight world title on April 20th at Madison Square Garden in New York. Khan did it again. He did it again. Hey, you can't, all the stuff that he gets, shout out to that Twitter handle, Deluded Khan. you know, that's a pretty funny Twitter handle.
It is.
You know, sometimes like they put out stuff and it's hilarious. You know, as much as people make fun of him, like that Twitter handle and all the stuff that he's went through with his wife, you know, allegedly, I don't know if it's allegedly, but that's messaging a transgender person. You know, hey, he's shows that he's down to fight anybody.
Yeah, that's the thing that shocks me is when people keep saying, like, he's ducking Kell Brook. I'm like...
And then he calls out Floyd Mayweather all the time.
I'm like, how is he ducking Kell Brook when he's fighting a harder fight? He's fighting a harder fight in Terrence Crawford, as you just touched on, that many people would say is in the top 5 pound per pound.
Probably maybe, top three, four.
Yeah, maybe even top three. So how can choosing to fight Terrence Crawford, a current world champion, in the top three, top 5 pound per pound rankings for less money?
Yeah.
How can that be classed as ducking? Surely if he took Kell Brook, which looks like a washed Kell Brook for no title, but for more money, it doesn't make sense to me.
Kell Brook is always going to be there, and I think Khan knows that.
It's just funny because he originally took that 3-fight deal with Eddie Hearn. He was trying
to get the Brook fight in that one.
Well, yeah, he kind of said, I've joined Matchroom to make this Kell Brook fight more attainable because we're in the same promotion, so it's going to be easier to make. So he fought Phil LaGreco first fight, Samuel Vargas, and then everyone was kind of like, well, the final fight on the contract is going to be Brook.
Yeah.
Nope. He chooses to fight Terrence Crawford.
Hey, but that... I mean, we all know it. Like, Khan knows that the Brook fight is always going to be there.
I sometimes wonder if Kell Brook's just like dangling a carrot in front of Kell Brook. It's just like, hey, we're going to fight. And then, you know, just as Kell Brook's about to take a bite, he just pulls it away. Like, no, we're not going to fight.
I think he knows, man. I mean,
because Kell Brook needs the money more than Amir Khan. Amir Khan obviously came from the Olympics and had that.
He has that pedigree.
He just had that pedigree. He got, you know, if you come from the Olympics like he did, you're guaranteed your first contract with a Matchroom or whoever you sign with, Top Rank or anyone like that. It's going to be a big deal, you know, especially if you've picked up a bronze, silver or a gold medal like a lot of them do. Then turn pro, you're going to get that big money deal because you've got, you know, some pedigree, you've got some background. Whereas Kell Brook didn't have that. So can I imagine, you know, he's made some good paydays down the line. You know, he's not ducked fights like people claim, you know, Maidana, Canelo, Danny Garcia.
Yeah,
you know, Zab Judo is obviously still good. You know, a bit of a washed Paulie Malignaggi, but
now he's going to Crawford at Madison Square Garden.
I mean, when
ESPN.
When he retires, he's going to have a good name, a good CV.
Well, that's the thing. Like he's still a draw, even though like people make fun of his chin and all this stuff. And Samuel Vargas, when he fought Samuel Vargas, he did get knocked down and all this stuff. But like, you know, he still draws. Like he's still popular. Like
the reason, like I think one of the reasons he actually does draw is because he's chinny. He can be winning a fight.
It's kind of entertaining in an ironic sense.
It's true. He can be winning a fight, and then someone just kind of catches him, and you're like, whoop, there goes Cannon. He's one of those guys that when he gets caught, his legs go.
All right.
He turns into spaghetti legs.
I think that when Kell Brook moved up to 160 to fight Triple G, which was obviously a big deal, because like, what the hell, welterweight moving up, and you know, everybody's like, oh, he has, you know, you got to give him the guts, he's doing it and everything. Do you think Kell Brook, in a sense, at that time, was trying to do what Khan did in terms of like...
When he fought Canelo?
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, I want to show that I can do it too. And then like, you know, if Brook never got like that horrible eye injury and just got those after effects of all that stuff, do you think, you know, he still would have been able to fight like bigger names or all that stuff? Like, I think in a way he was trying, or maybe I'm wrong, but he was trying to kind of follow in the footsteps. Like, well, if Khan goes up to fight Canelo, I'm going to go up to fight Canelo's rival in Triple G.
Yeah, maybe, because maybe
he kind of keeps him parallel in a sense.
Yeah, it looks like he's either trying to do that, and then, you know, at the same time when Khan did it, it was kind of you move up and you're not expected to win, so you're kind of getting free money because a good performance, you kind of raises your stock because you've gone up like two weight divisions, but then a bad performance, everyone's going to go, well, he did move up 13, 14 pounds to fight him. So it's kind of win-win, but obviously, you know, it wasn't for Kell, obviously, because he came out with a broken eye socket.
Yeah.
So, and he's never really been the same since, you know.
No, never.
He went in with Errol Spence not long after that, and obviously it happened again to the other eye, and he's never really seemed to have recovered. So, but going back to the fight, you know, I think the Amir Khan and Kell Crawford fight, April the 20th, Madison Square Garden, New York.
That'll be on ESPN too, because, I mean, I'm assuming because Crawford's got the negotiation power here.
Yeah, exactly. I actually think it's a good fight. Crawford, it's another sort of name onto his resume because he's, if you look at his resume, it's not that
great. But I think Crawford had no choice though. I think Crawford knew they dangled, and you know, there's some conspiracy theories behind how Top Rank, like, oh, they talked about, because who was he supposed to fight?
Louis Collazo.
He's supposed to fight Louis Collazo before, and then the people were like, what? Like, come on, man, Crawford, like, you have a world title. Like, we get it that there's politics in between the promoters, but like, come on, you got to get in with some better competition. And then Amir Khan comes out of nowhere and now is likely to get this fight, which looks like it's all but confirmed. I don't know. Top Rank could have did that on purpose. Maybe they already had a plan and they're like, oh, well, we'll talk about Louis Collazo. So then when people are all like, oh, what, talking crap about the Louis Collazo fight, we put in Amir Khan and they're like, oh, well, I'd rather see him against like Thurman and Spence and those PBC guys, but I'm cool with Khan. You know, you kind of like a marketing tactic.
No, there's no fooling you, Danny Z.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. It's Top Rank. Did you listen? You know, shout out to the Three Knockdown Rule podcast with Steve Kim and Mario Lopez. Did you listen to that Bob Arum?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That was a great interview. That was a great interview. I mean, I've read about that stuff that he talked about, but hearing the man himself at, you know, 85 or however old he is, what a life he's had.
Yeah, it's a good story for anybody that's listened to it. Kind of goes back to how Bob Arum actually got into boxing, and you know, one of his first fights he actually promoted was one of the greatest.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali. Yeah.
One of the greatest boxers of all time, if not the greatest. So
yeah, know. And he talks about how he met Ali, how he came to promote him, and how, you know, and what a lot of people don't know is Bob Arum is went to Harvard. He was a lawyer. He was a lawyer for the Justice Department for the United States. He worked, I think, for the Kennedy administration. John F. Kennedy. And, you know, he was like the head of the tax division at the Southern District of New York, which, just as a side note, the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York in the United States is arguably, it's probably the main office to be that for the U.S. Attorney. They're the ones looking into our president over here in the United States, and President Donald Trump, you know, it's a big deal to work in that office. So, but yeah, shout out to the Three Knockdown Rule podcast. You know, if you guys want to listen to a pretty good, and it's a pretty good like 45-minute maybe hour interview. Yeah. Bob Arum, he's a great interview, man. Like,
a great interview. He's very honest.
Yeah,
he doesn't really
doesn't
hold back. And any questions that they've kind of fired towards him, he gives a good, truthful answer. So it's a good listen to.
Right, right. So, you know, and we'll dive into Amir Khan and Crawford as it gets closer. Obviously, that's penciled in, or at least tentative, for April 20th at Madison Square Garden, New York, which will likely be ESPN, which is cool because, you know, it's essentially free. It's not like pay-per-view or something. So
pay-per-view's dead, Danny Z.
According to who? Oscar De La Hoya?
Oscar De La Hoya, Eddie Hearn.
Eddie Hearn.
DAZN.
DAZN. I don't know. Bob Arum said it's not dead. PBC says it's not dead. Showtime says it's not dead. Who are we supposed to believe here? We're just going to have to wait and see. We're just going to have to wait and see. But, you know, we appreciate, like we said at the beginning, we appreciate head trainer of Jose Uscategui, IBF, 168-pound world champion, head trainer Jose Cital, coming on the show. We know he had a limited window to talk to us, but we appreciate that he called in and was able to talk to us about the fight, which was actually very entertaining. He's a very entertaining guy.
He was gonna.
Yeah, he threw it all out there, man. He did.
He was going to come into the studio this week. I'd arranged it, but at the last minute, he said that the media stuff that he was supposed to come to LA was kind of canceled until Thursday. So
I mean, it's cool. I mean, at least he, you know, we still appreciate that he called in. So big thanks to him, and then good luck to Jose Uscategui and of course Caleb Plant. You know, at the end of the day, we're boxing fans, so good luck to both of them this Sunday on Fox Sports 1 from the Microsoft Theater in downtown LA, which I think tickets are still available. So if you guys aren't doing anything out here and you're in the Southern California area or the LA area, go check out that fight. That should be a pretty nice card, pretty entertaining. It's a smaller venue. I mean, it's not
a lot of fights in it though.
But there's a lot
of fights this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of fights. Yeah. So we appreciate him calling in. And then we appreciate you guys listening once again and supporting the show, whether it's Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever, all that stuff. We appreciate it. Whether you're listening on your car, toilet, whatever, like I mentioned before, it doesn't matter as long as you're listening to us. And just remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TheLastRound12, at TheLastRound12. Check us out there. Let us know what you think. DM us, tweet us, message us, whatever. Let us know who you want to see as a guest, who we should talk to, what you want to see us talk about. And, you know, we'll go from there. What do you got, Mike? Last word?
Don't forget to tune in next week. Episode 17. It's the big one, probably the biggest fight of the year so far. Manny Pacquiao against Adrian Broner. So we'll give you a good review into that.
Yep. The problem, Broner versus Pac-Man Pacquiao. So that's pretty intriguing. I know people, we'll dive into it next week, but
yeah,
it's an intriguing matchup.
And they've got some good behind-the-scenes interviews. They've had the first one this week, the Showtime.
All Access.
All Access, that's the word I was looking for. So tune in next week for that.
And then we'll just go from there. So we'll see you guys next week. This is the last round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe.